Give us a pure and lowly heart, a temple fit for thee. Amen.
At the back of the temple, a man lowers his head and prays. His prayer is full of misery and remorse. We can imagine him reciting a version of the confession from Rite One. I am heartily sorry for all my misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto me. The burden of them is intolerable. He knows he needs help. He knows he needs God. Across the way, another man is praying. He stands and looks down his nose at his neighbor as he prays a litany of self-congratulation. His prayer is so full of self, there's no room for God, no need for God. It's human nature to lift ourselves up by putting others down. Lisa and Lila Clore were neighbors who lived next door to me in grade school. We played together every afternoon, and our game was always the same. Two of us, usually me and one of the sisters, would gang up against the third. And once, they both ganged up against me, and I realized how painful it was to be the other, the outcast, the one being picked on. It made me grateful I didn't have a sister. It requires maturity to cultivate the virtue of humility, the virtue that reckons you're no better and no worse than anyone else. It takes maturity and it takes practice. Lately, I've been listening to Ron Chernow's biography of George Washington, who from a young age practiced the virtue of humility by governing his emotions with a steely discipline. When, as General Washington, he commanded the Continental Army, at least two of his subordinate officers at different times sought to undermine him behind his back. When Washington discovered these betrayals, he held himself in check. Although he let the men know he was aware of their perfidy, he never commented on it. There was no name calling, no public humiliations. Washington felt no need to lift himself up by putting others down. At times, we might wonder if his humility was almost superhuman. Benedict Arnold, a general whom Washington had championed, had requested and been granted by Washington the post of commander at West Point, a strategic bulwark against the British who occupied New York City and Long Island at the time. What Washington didn't know until it was almost too late was that Arnold had become convinced that he had not been adequately rewarded for all his mighty deeds, and therefore felt he deserved the money the British offered him to betray his country and deliver West Point into their keeping. After the plot was discovered, Arnold fled, leaving his wife and infant daughter behind. Sometime later, Arnold had the temerity to write a letter to Washington requesting him to send Arnold the clothes and personal belongings he had left at West Point when he made his escape. Rather than build a bonfire and throw said belongings into it, which is what I would have done, Washington did as he was asked. His humility did not, however, stop Washington from doing his best to have Benedict Arnold captured, but all the attempts that were made failed. Jesus said, "All who exalt themselves shall be humbled, but all who humble themselves shall be exalted." Benedict Arnold, a man who sought to exalt himself, is remembered now only as a name synonymous with traitor. While Washington, who humbled himself in many ways, many more ways than the ones I've mentioned, has indeed been exalted. 5 years after the war was over, he became the first and only president elected unanimously to that office, twice. And all these years later, he is remembered and revered. His name graces our capital, the state of Washington, innumerable city streets, and even a certain baseball team. When the tax collector left the temple, Jesus said he went away justified, meaning right with God and at peace with himself. He had received God's undeserved favor, which we name grace. The religious man didn't seem to need anything from God, so he went away empty-handed and empty-hearted. The Pharisee had come to believe that it was his actions that made him right with God rather than God's. The gifts of God, love, forgiveness, grace, community, the sacraments, life itself, can quickly be seized as possessions. And what comes from above can easily be turned into self-accomplishment. That's why what we're going to do in a few minutes, giving back to God what God has given to us, is such an important spiritual practice. In this way, we cultivate humility and a right relationship with the one God, from whom all blessings flow. Amen.